All right, Jimmy, as promised, we're going to do a prediction. So we're going to hold you accountable. We're ready. Lay it out.
I predict that I will be an official finisher of this race.
Now, Jimmy, we're looking for a bit more than that because, you know. You know, Scott, you can't complete the original 6 hundo challenge like Jimmy Dean is doing without support, without the right crew, and in this case, without mentors. And we've brought on David Snipes to kick this thing off. We've just had AJW bring his wisdom to us, and we have a host of others waiting in the bullpen to come in and rescue our athlete and put him back together. You just have to have the right stuff.
One of the other things that you need, Don, is the proper gear. And people are very good at picking out shoes and trying different shoes and different shorts and shirts. But one of the key products that I found that really helps is a product that helps protect you from blisters and chafage. The product that I'm talking about is called Run Goo. It's made by Foot Kinetics. If you go to footkinetics.com, you can check out Run Goo. It's a cream product that you can buy in either a 5.5 ounce or a 3 ounce package. And you rub it on your feet, you apply it to your feet liberally, put on your socks. It's not going to gunk up your socks, and it really prevents those blisters and chafage. In fact, I've gotten rid of my deodorant-looking chafage cream.
You know, Scott, it's more than just the feet, right? Any place that's a bit tender is susceptible to some chafage, yeah? But between the thighs, underneath the arms. And these are all places that just become quite prevalent and painful if you don't prepare yourself and use the right stuff.
Yeah, it works. It works well even when in wet. If you're running through creeks and stuff like that, it's still gonna be effective.
The ultra runner's best friend. And you can't run long with blisters or chafage.
So go to footkinetics.com and check it out.
Give me a little 1-2.
1-2.
1-3-4-5-6. Check.
Ashley, were you expecting a professional podcast?
No, I wasn't. Apparently not. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
And it was a miserable, miserable day.
Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Scott Warr.
And I'm Don Freeman.
I'm the SoCal correspondent, Jimmy Dean Freeman.
And this is Andy Jones Wilkins.
As promised, Jimmy was going to go run 100 miles and come back and talk to us, and that's just what he's done. This is part of a six-part series. It's the overview of the original 6 hundo challenge that Jimmy Dean has decided that he was going to put himself through in the summer of 2014. And just in case you don't know what this 6 hundo challenge involves, it is the Old Dominion on June 7th. Get this. Just think of this as if it was your race schedule. June 7th, Old Dominion. June 29th, Western States. July 19th, Vermont. August 2nd, Angeles Crest. August 16th, Leadville. September 5th, Wasatch. Jimmy Dean Freeman, welcome back to the podcast. Glad to see you've made it through step one, Old Dominion.
I'm through step 152,424.
Who's counting?
That's how he keeps his mind active. He counts his steps.
I took the pedometer out there and, you know, just decided one foot in front of the other and broke it down. I didn't like the idea of 100 miles, so I thought I'd break it down into steps. So
part of our idea here is to bring a mentor on board for you, Jimmy. And in fact, you selected this mentor. And we brought Andy Jones Wilkins on because, well, he has an illustrious career. One, he's run Old Dominion. Two, he has run 5 100 miles in 1 year himself. So you're going for six, but he knows what it's like to put a bib on five different times at 100 mile distance in 1 year. And we're preparing next for the June 29th Western States. And, you know, if there's anybody that knows about that course, it is Andy Jones-Wilkins, because he's going to be a 10-time finisher this year. So, Andy Jones-Wilkins, we appreciate you coming on board to help us with our athlete here.
Hey, great to be on and glad that that Jimmy got through chapter one. You know, one of the other things you should note, too, about Jimmy's attempt this year at the last great race is it's gotten a lot more difficult in the last couple of years since they moved Angeles Crest to late July, early August. Keep in mind the old timers, they got to delay packs it into 13 weeks. And that stretch, I'd say that stretch from Vermont, Angeles Crest, and Leadville is going to be just freaking killer.
Well, how does that sound, Jimmy?
Well, it sounded like he was dialing in from an alien spaceship for about the first half of it. But I got the last bit of the three races in 1 month.
We know that AJW has his special training routines, and it's very possible that he may be in a high altitude location, perhaps via satellite. We don't know if he's even on this planet. So that
that you mentioned high altitude locations. I'm currently podcasting from an altitude tent in our bedroom, sitting at about 10,000 feet with Spirit.
Did Spirit sign on for that? Does your dog Spirit realize that there's going to be some altitude training here at the Freeman household?
Well, she altitude trained with us last summer for the AC Leadville double, and she sits next to the entrance to the tent, and her crate, which she sleeps in sometimes, is wide open, and she either goes into the crate or sits next to the tent. So when I come into the bedroom and she's sitting next to the tent, I open up the door and she jumps in. So nobody's forcing her.
Hey, mentor AJW, what's your experience with altitude tents? What are your thoughts?
You know, I used one last year for about 3 months, and I was coming off about a year of being injured, and I really needed to jumpstart my training. So I felt like it helped. You know, I lived for 6 years at 6,000 feet in Idaho, so I was worried about what leaving the altitude was going to do for me. I think it helped in my build-up to Western States last year. I've chosen not to use it this year, but that's mainly because I had trouble sleeping in the altitude tent, and I kind of did some soul searching and figured my sleep was more important than my breathing. So, you know, this time of year, building up to Western States, I sleep like 9 to 10 hours a night and just try and stock up on sleep. So I think altitude tents for certain people, especially if they know they have a problem, they get problems after, say, 8,000-9,000 feet, are a really good idea. And absolutely, if you're going to go up to 10 plus, I think, and you don't live at altitude, it's pretty much a non-negotiable. You got to have it.
Mm-hmm. I'm utilizing it for a couple of different reasons. The first reason is Wasatch, and the second reason is Leadville.
So let's get back to this old report. On our previous podcast, Jimmy Dean Freeman gave a prediction. And we are going to replay that prediction right now and then hear Jimmy's response to that prediction. You got it queued up there, Freeman?
Ready to go.
All right, here we go.
All right, Jimmy, as promised, part three of our each episode is we're going to do a prediction. So we're going to hold you accountable to this prediction. We're ready. Lay it out.
I predict that I will be an official finisher of this race.
Now, Jimmy, we're looking for a bit more than that because, you know, as predictions go, tell me the one item that you're most concerned about. Is it legs, stomach? Give us something just that you know you need to take very careful, precautions so you don't fall into that gap?
Hydration and electrolytes, but more importantly, body temperature. Like the humidity, you can't sweat much. You're not going to sweat as efficiently. So I'm concerned about what effect the heat will have on my body, because I have had heat stress at the end of a 100-mile race before and thrown up and dry heaved for the final 20 miles. So.
Okay. So for the record, it is official finisher, and we're concerned about electrolyte hydration because of humidity and the body's response to the heat. So
I'll give you a time. I'm gonna finish in 1949.
What was the drum part, Freeman?
Well, a little drama.
So Jimmy, we know that you finished. What was the official finish time? And then let's talk about how the humidity affected your run.
So I believe the official number of starters was 59. I finished 18th overall in 22:37.
Congratulations.
Nice. So you predicted there was going to be some heat issues, some electrolyte potentially issues. What happened there?
None. No issues whatsoever.
What do you attribute that to? Was it a kind day, you know, with the weather conditions, or did you just prepare yourself properly and take care of yourself along the way?
I think it was a combination of both. I think that Andy Kameda and I had a really fortunately timed Old Dominion this year, in that the high temperatures were in the low 80s and the humidity wasn't overpowering. And the thunderstorm and the humidity that came in the next day were far worse. And, you know, we just happened to time it on a good day. Secondarily, I was concerned and focused on it the whole race and wore an ice bandana and threw ice in my hat for pretty much mile 20 to mile 80, or I think 82 is about where I stopped doing that. And then, you know, really stayed on top of my hydration and managed my electrolytes really well. So I definitely had some issues during the race, but they weren't humidity or heat related.
Now, AJW, you've run both Old Dominion and Western States. Can you compare the two races a bit so we can kind of compare and contrast what he's done and what's next?
Well, I think that he's got, he's off to a great start. And I'm guessing that without having the humidity and heat issues that he anticipated, that's going to set him up nicely for Vermont, which can be brutally humid up there. So I would, you know, my focus for the next 17 days after recovering from any nicks and cuts and other little, you know, stuff that happens in hundreds would be to, you know, get my mind back around longer climbs and descents. You know, OD is like a lot of stuff back here in the East, sort of just relentlessly rolling, blend of roads and trails, some technical stuff, but not that much. You know, Western States takes more sustained efforts, both downs and ups. So I think Jimmy's probably going to be fine in the first 30 miles and just take it easy and enjoy the cool of the morning and ride it out through the canyons, and then hope that the momentum carries him home from Forest Hill. I mean, that's what we all hope for. It also might make sense to do a little dry heat training, you know, since he won't be running very much. You know, as you guys said, it's been 105, 106 out there. I'd get out in the heat and just bake a little bit too, so that you know, you don't have any worries in that regard come race day.
So in between these two races, what kind of training do you recommend for Jimmy?
I'd
packing
say
many miles
gotta,
on?
I think there's not a whole lot he needs to do in terms of miles. What would be nice for him if he can, let's see, it's Wednesday. You know, if he could get out this weekend for something, maybe just a long hike or, you know, running a little bit on some flats and some downhills. What I've found when you have 3 weeks between is to try and get something up tempo in the middle of the middle week. So assuming your, you know, work life will allow it, sometime around the 17th, 18th, 19th of June, if Jimmy could get in like a nice 10 to 12 to 14 miler in the middle of the day in the heat on some rolling terrain to just remind his legs to run, that they can run again and they can run relatively fast, would just kind of flip the switch back to running. And then going into the weekend before, you know, just do something he feels like doing, 2 to 3 hours of run hike type stuff. And then, you know, just savor and take in race day like everybody, race week like everyone else will. You know, the hay's in the barn, and, you know, frankly, looking ahead, he doesn't really have a whole lot of training to do until after Leadville's over, because the rest of it's just one race after another.
So Jimmy, what? Tell us a little bit about how you're feeling. We're about, what, 3-4 days after the race. How are you feeling? What is the recovery look like?
Energy levels feel great. I'm sleeping through the night. I've been getting in the 180-degree sauna to sweat out a lot of the toxins, and I've been eating really clean and healthy.
Are you making Spirit go in the sauna as well, Jimmy?
No. Okay. Spirit does love the heat for laying down and hanging out, but the sauna is about where we put a limit to Spirit's mimicking our training.
Good.
And then, you know, I've been walking a lot this week, so Spirit and I have been going out for, you know, 30, 45-minute walks and just, you know, trying to, you know, walk quickly and normally and efficiently. To kind of flush out the muscles a little bit, and hot Epsom soaks to, you know, my feet are still a little bit achy and my calves are tender to the touch, but when I'm walking, I feel pretty good. Tomorrow will be the first hike with maybe a little bit of running thrown in, and that'll be completely by feel. And this weekend and the following weekend, I will be, this weekend I'll be doing trail work on the Angeles Crest 100 course to fulfill my Wasatch 100 requirement. And then, so that will be some hiking and probably a little bit of heat. And then the following weekend, I'll be coaching a coyote practice where I'll probably get, you know, 2 to 3 hours in of hiking up and running down. So I can nail those training points. And then in the middle of the week, as AJ said, I will take his advice and go, you know, 10, 12 miles on rolling terrain.
Cool, man. I think you're on the right track, if you ask me. Hey, let me ask you, did you have any, no issues energy level and no issues with your stomach. Did you have any, like, body issues, knees or hips or from, you know, sustained on the dirt roads that are kind of crowned or making the transitions from the trail to the dirt roads back to the trail? I mean, some people get banged up at OD because of that. Their bodies, they have to switch running style so much. Did anything like that happen to you where you ended up having to favor something or, you know, kind of compensate?
Yes, absolutely. I haven't ever finished a race compensating as heavily as I did at OD. My left foot, I had a what I estimate was my peroneal tendon, but I don't know. I'm going to see a physical therapist later today. Where when I pushed off or my foot rolled a little bit, I felt a sharp pain on the outside of my left foot. And it got to the point where the last 7 miles, running down those last switchbacks and coming into town, I was intentionally pigeon-toeing with my left foot a little bit and running heavily on my right leg just to get through those final miles. So, yeah, that was a definite issue for me. And the other two things that I did horrifically wrong were that was the last time I will fly a red-eye to a race. That was just the $100 I saved cost me more than $100 in terms of, you know, I think the expenses for each one of these races is rounding out somewhere between $800 and $1,200 per race. And that $100 I saved on the flight out cost me a lot more than I anticipated in how my body felt in the beginning of the 100 mile. And then in pacing myself out for a projected 20 hours, which I thought would have been the most efficient time for me, I went through the 50K split in around 5 hours. And, you know, that was 15 something pace, and it was definitely too aggressive for what I was aiming for.
I would echo that red eye, don't take the red eye sentiment. You know, I had a fair amount of success in Vermont when I lived out west, and I think part of the reason why I did was it starts at 4 a.m. Eastern time, which is 1 a.m. California time. So, you know, you really have to adjust your body clock in the other direction. You know, and so I don't know if you have your flights worked out yet for the Vermont trip, but I would definitely shoot for like an early morning flight out of California that gets you into the East Coast, you know, at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, then try to have as normal of a day as you can on whatever day that is. Let's say it's the Thursday before the race, and then you get to rest on Friday, and the 4 a.m. on Saturday doesn't hit you quite as bad. The other thing, and this is something for anybody trying to do, you know, one of the things about Western States and Angeles Crest, and even Wasatch, is the surface you're running on, for the most part, is predictable. And the transitions between different surfaces are gentle. Whereas in OD and Vermont, and AC, the surfaces and the transition, or sorry, Leadville, are less predictable and less smooth. And that's the kind of thing you were saying with your peroneal tendon or whatever. I think people underestimate that the whole body is readjusting to all of a sudden, for example, at Leadville, running on this nice, smooth, paved road after going up and over Sugarloaf Pass, which is pretty gnarly, technical, double track. So, you know, it's not something you can really train for, but you can train mentally for it, knowing that those transitions are going to be tricky.
Hey, Jimmy, I have a question for you. You said you admittedly entered Old Dominion not as with as many miles as you would ordinarily, if you only had one A race or just a couple hundreds in a year, like most people, by the way, that you would have an increased number of miles on your legs before going into that race. At any time during Old Dominion, did you think to yourself, gosh, I'm really happy that I didn't train as much. I feel fresher, I feel good, and my endurance is still there. Or did you say, crap, maybe I under-trained for this thing? Did either one of those thoughts go through your head?
You know, it was kind of in the middle of that. My first, like, oh, crap moment was realizing how tight my muscles were from not having run a single day in the last 6 or 7 days prior to Old Dominion. I tapered a little bit too hard. And I should have, you know, gotten a couple of spin-out hour runs in the middle of the week. I think would have helped me feel a little bit more in balance when I started the race. And in hindsight, looking at how I felt, yes, I definitely wasn't in peak shape, and it definitely affected my race. But you can't maintain a peak for a long time, so I'm still looking at Old Dominion and Western States and maybe even Vermont as kind of train-up races. And hopefully, hypothetically, by the time I get to Angeles Crest, I'm feeling in peak condition, with the obvious caveat to how much I'm recovering from the race prior. But I'm looking at maintaining a peak fitness for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks instead of trying to hold on to it for 3 months. And Old Dominion will definitely be something that over the next 3 weeks makes me slightly more fit than I was prior to it.
AJW, you've run 5 100 miles in a year. Can you speak a little bit to the psychological and physiological impact and taxing?
Yeah, well, I think you have to do what Jimmy's doing, which is kind of breaking it up almost thinking of all, in his case, all 600s as one big 13-week event. And the wear and tear, in my experience, comes at the end of the summer. But that was mainly of my own doing, because my target race is always the one that's right at the end of June. And so I had a fair, both the years I did four in a summer and then the one year I did five, I had a pity party for myself in those races in September and October. And again, they weren't as tight together as Jimmy's, but I felt really sorry for myself toward the end of Grand Teton 100 and Wasatch 1 year and Javelina, just because I was running on fumes. And I think if I could do it all again, I would have this general gradual buildup like Jimmy's going to do, where you start to hit that peak at Angeles Crest and then really hit it out of the park at Leadville and Wasatch.
Hey, Jimmy, tell us your experience so far with Western States. This is not going to be the first look at it for you. So what have you done in the past? And then let's look towards the future.
Well, I've been physically involved with Memorial Day weekend and Western States race years every year since 2008, and not missing a year in that span, either participating, crewing, or pacing, or multiple categories. And then I've been applying for the race for 9 years, and I'm 0-6 in the general lottery. When I started applying back in 2005, I was in the final crop of three-time loser status automatic entries. So that was how I got into Western States the first time. And I was registered for the 2008 Western States, which got canceled due to fire. First and only time it's been canceled in the 40 years of the race. And I had the opportunity to pay for the race a second time a year later. And so I paid for Western States twice and started it once, finished the race in 24 hours and I believe 28 minutes. I was the second bronze buckle finisher that year. I think I was 74th or 76th overall in a year that started 400. It was a hotter year. Wasn't as hot as say last year was, but it was, I think they recorded 106 or 107 degrees in Deadwood Canyon going up Devil's Thumb. And this is my second time to start the race. I'm excited to get another crack at it.
So it's come that time, Jimmy. Let's talk, what is your plan for Western States? What's the strategy going in? And what is your prediction?
So the plan and strategy off the bat is to be more conservative with my effort in the early stages of the race. In 2009, I believe I mismanaged my fluid and electrolytes and death marched from Duncan Canyon to Volcano Canyon. So I had about a 50K of walking and slow jogging and walking and slow jogging. And then I really put myself back together when the temperatures cooled down and ran a really great Bath Road to the finish. So last 40 miles, I was pretty solid. This time around, I'm, as I said, going to be conservative and really just brace for the heat of those three of those four major canyons and hope to have really good solid downhill running legs coming into Forest Hill and have an amazing pacer, Andy Pearson, who's going to hypothetically run the last 38 to 40 miles with me and get some good downhill running stretches in and looking to put some time in the bank in the final miles.
AJW, do you have any words of wisdom for our athlete, Jimmy Dean?
You know, Jimmy has three really very impressive sub-24-hour finishes at Angeles Crest since his last time running at Western States. And, I mean, if there's a race that – if there's a race aside from Western States that I think truly tests a runner's mettle in all the ways, in terms of climbing, descending, managing a course, managing nutrition, it's AC. I have four finishes at AC, but I haven't had any in the last 10 or so years. I hope to go back there once I finish this love affair I have with Western States, start dating other women. But I think Jimmy is maybe underestimating how those three experiences are going to inform his Western States. I think it's smart to be careful through the canyons, but I don't think you need to be overly conservative. Let the momentum of those downhills let's put it this way: no one finishes Angeles Crest under 24 hours. Without being able to really run a sustained hard downhill from the top of Baden Powell all the way to Islip, without being able to run from Shortcut to Newcombs, and certainly without being able to run well from Sam Merrill down to Millard. Those are three descents that are every bit as challenging and sophisticated as the descents into the three major canyons at Western States. So my advice to Jimmy is, let the downhill legs that you've developed in the last 5 years carry you through those sections. Take it easy on the climbs. Don't get overheated and burned out on the climbs. And then when you get to the part of Western States that is least like AC, which is the last 20, I think it's important to note that the last 20 miles of Western States is extraordinarily runnable compared to anything you'll find on the AC course. And if you're a runner and if you've got runner's legs, you're going to be fine. So, that's what I would say based on what I've seen Jimmy do in these last 3 years at AC. And I have a very good, close, intimate relationship with that course and that race. And keep in mind, by the way, those runs that he's done have been since it's been moved to the middle of the summer when it's quite a bit hotter and more exposed. And at least two of those years since they had that huge fire that eliminated just about all the shade that ever existed there in the first place. So I've got high hopes for Jimmy at Western States.
Jimmy, we need a soundbite prediction. What do you have for us?
I am feeling a lack of Western States confidence. And while I will take AJW's perspective into consideration, I feel that I will roll through that Placer High School track sometime around 6:35 in the morning, which would be 25:35 finish, I believe. And yeah, I'll be looking to make up some time on that prediction somewhere along the course, and I'll be ready to run and gun towards the end. Definitely thinking about how I can close out the Angeles Crest 100, get over those last two major mountains in 6 hours and 15 minutes. I think I can get from the river to the finish in 4.5 hours. So we'll see how that goes.
I sure like AJW's perspective. You have put a lot of miles on your legs and have a great deal more experience than you had in previous attempts and races behind you, and you can certainly use that to your advantage. So I think he brings in a keen observation.
AJW, hey, I want to add one more thing. I want to add one more thing. Maybe this will give incentive to Jimmy because as I'm preparing for my post Western States runner's life. One of the things that I'm going to have an opportunity to do this year is spell Tropical John Mettinger up in the announcer's booth from 5 to 7 a.m., which, of course, is after the 24-hour finishers. If you make your prediction, then I'll be announcing your name around the track. But if you can somehow beat it, you'll have the honor of having Mettinger announce your name. And if I were you, I'd much rather have Mettinger do it than me.
Absolutely, Jimmy. If that's not enough for you to get out of that gate early, I don't know what is. Go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say, those of you
take us home.
Those of you who are looking at your calendar and trying to figure all this stuff out, Western States is coming up at the end of June. June 28th is the start.
June 29th, isn't it?
Through the 29th.
June 28th.
Okay.
Well, it's 28th into the 29th.
Yes. So we will be posting you after Jimmy finishes his Western States run, and stay tuned.
Trail Runner Nation, go to find Andy Jones Wilkins in the tap room at I Run Far. You can always read and listen to his musings about the trail. Jimmy Dean Freeman can be found at Coach Jimmy Dean on Twitter. And SoCal Coyotes is the crew he runs with down in Southern California, open for running on the trails and coaching as well. Jimmy Dean, we appreciate your quest to finish sixth. We feel that you are absolutely up to the task. And AJW, as always, a mentor to all of us that get a chance to tune into the podcast, tune into the tap room, and listen to your experience. So we appreciate you both being on.
Hey, see you in squaw.
You guys missed one of the main reasons why AJW was my selected mentor.
Why is that?
You've listed off many of the things that he's qualified to be advising people on. He's also one of my favorite beer advisors.
Now, there is life after Western States. He has a career path.
Hey, and just a little side note on if you're following Jimmy, if you want to find out how his progress is going during Western States, it's hashtag O6HC is the hashtag that his crew will be updating during that race.
For Original Six Hundo Challenge.
Excellent, excellent.
All
right, guys.
See you in squaw.
Hey, thanks, squaw, guys. Boys. We'll talk to you later.
That was a fun podcast. Thanks.
Thanks again,
bye-bye.
AJW.
See it.
All right. Good luck, Jimmy. We'll see you up there.
See you in about 2 weeks.
Yep, you got it. Bye-bye.
All right. See you guys.